Sacrifice, Gurudeva says, is giving up to a greater power a cherished possession, be it money, time, intelligence, or physical object, to manifest a greater. So the story that Gurudeva uses in Living with Shiva to demonstrate sacrifice is the famous story about Yogaswami in the pit. Yogaswami had a big meal cooked with thousands of people there. And when the time came to eat, which was noon, he said, well, let's keep singing. So they kept singing. And then he had them dig a pit and sing some more. Finally, in the evening, around 6 p.m., they still hadn't eaten, and they had them put the food into the pit. Nicely organized way, big rice in the middle, like it was all on banana leaves, curries on the side. It was laid out just like a huge meal. And finally, he had them cover it up with dirt. They didn't get to eat. Spent all day worshiping. Didn't get to eat, and he said, Mother Earth always feeds us. Today we are feeding Mother Earth in return. So that was sacrifice. They denied themselves a meal, involuntarily in that case, involuntary sacrifice. But it shows the spirit of it, self-denial. You give up something that you would normally have for in some religious way or for some selfless purpose. So, some examples. Sacrifice, fasting for a day, and getting saved to a Hindu project. So normally we would eat, but we choose that day to fast, even though we don't have to. It's not pradosha or something, which doesn't count if you're normally observing pradosha. But you're doing something extra, something you don't have to do. So you fast for a day, you don't have to fast, and do something with the money you saved would be an example of sacrifice. Another example, instead of going on a fancy vacation, go on a budget vacation and take the money saved and do something noble with it. You're giving up. A couple of family examples of sacrifice. The kids get together and tell mom she can't cook tonight because they're going to cook dinner. They give up their free time. They don't have to cook dinner, but they give up their free time. In this case, they're sacrificing free time to help their mother. Kids take care of the grandparents and let the parents have a day off. Sacrifice, doing something you don't have to do for a good cause. So, all of those have in common the idea of we're disciplining our instinctive mind, we're becoming less selfish, giving ourselves greater control of our instinctive mind, and benefiting something or someone else. All the benefit is for someone else's. Is someone else's. So that's the idea of sacrifice. Fourth aspect of austerity is tapas. And a number of the monks have been asking me about tapas, so it makes it a hot topic, so to speak. Tapas means to burn. So, Yogaswami was once asked why he scolded his devotees so intensely. Remember his answer? He said, isn't a fire needed to burn rubbish? No, isn't a fire needed to burn rubbish? So, of course, the fire in this case was his fiery words, right? And the rubbish was the impurity in the mind of the devotee he was scolding. He was trying to help the devotee become more pure. So that's the spirit of tapas, is purification through burning up the impurities. So Gurudeva gives a beautiful definition. very poetic. A little bit long, but it's so special, I thought I'd read it. Tapas is even more austere, meaning more austere than penance. It may come to be in a lifetime or later in life, unbidden or provoked by Raja Yoga practices. It is the fire that straightens the twisted life and mind of an individual, bringing him into pure being, giving a new start in life, awakening higher consciousness, and a cosmic relationship with God and the gods, friends, relatives, and casual acquaintances. So the phrase that stood out there for me was giving a new start in life. One of the qualities that happens in life is start out unburdened, jumping around, having fun, playing. And we can become quite burdened with what we experience in life. Difficulties we face, what we've done wrong, regrets, remorse. We're not jumping around anymore in a happy, joyous way. We become burdened by life. So most individuals, when they get in that state of mind, it never goes away. It either stays the same or gets progressively worse. But this is saying we can throw it off, start a new life. We can burn it up. We can resolve it and start fresh. So that's part of the idea of tapas. Purudeva continues. When tapas begins, it will burn off the accumulated dross from the wrongdoings of many past lives and eventually lift the soul to higher consciousness. This is why we call higher consciousness Shiva consciousness. So not only does it work on this life, it goes into the past as well. Tapas is a mind in turmoil, insane unto its very self. Fortunately, it doesn't forever. The psychic surgery is being performed by the gods themselves. So that's important, that we're just not sitting there by ourselves suffering. We're invoking the blessings of the deities, and it's coming in the form of a fiery sense that's burning up these problems. When the operation is over, the patient has been cut loose of the dross of all past lives. Then it gets very poetic here. Tapas is a landslide of mud, a psychic earthquake, coming upon the head and consuming the body of its victim, smothering him in the dross of his misdeeds, beneath which he is unable to breathe, see, speak, or hear. However, he awakens from this hideous dream, resting on a mat in a garden hut, smelling sweet jasmine, seeing pictures of gods and devas adorning the mud walls, and hearing the sound of a flute coming from a distant source. Different kind of poetry for Gurudeva. So it gives you an important sense that it ends in a very nice way. That you end up in a very purified state, very blissful state when the process is over.